This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of The State of Politics. There's a lot going on legislatively and politically in Michigan, and each week we solicit an insider's view. Rick Pluta is the managing editor and Capital Bureau chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. And Rick, you've had a busy week, haven't you?
It has been a busy week.
Well, one of the hot topics of conversation is centered around marijuana. The Board of State canvassers yesterday did approve the signatures, so the legislature now has 40 days to act, or it will appear on the November ballot. Any surprises that it actually passed this time around after a failure in the 2016 campaign?
No surprises that this campaign had a lot of national marijuana legalization organizations behind it, which wasn't the case in 2016. They used professional petition circulators, which wasn't the case in 2016. And so basically they got it all in with plenty of room to spare.
Yeah, I was going to say, over the next 40 days, what do you anticipate the legislature is going to consider?
Right now, Republican leaders are trying to decide whether it's in their interest to just vote on this rather than allowing it to go on the ballot when the presumption is that it might help draw out single-issue, left-leaning, younger voters, which would presumably help Democrats even more. In fact, that possibility is real enough that the Senate Democratic leader, who supports marijuana legalization, said, if you bring this to the floor for a vote, we will oppose you because we think that this should go to the ballot. And if it does go to the ballot, there is actually another group that opposes marijuana legalization that says a court challenge is very, very likely. And this would have national implications because the heart of the challenge would be that Michigan and other states cannot legalize marijuana in opposition to federal law, where, of course, marijuana is still a banned-controlled substance. And so those are just some of the things that will play out in coming weeks and months.
Well, as we talk about heading to the ballots and casting votes, the election deadline for candidates who sought to appear on the August primary ballots has passed. In looking over those running for statewide office throughout Michigan, did anything stand out to you?
Well, that there's at least one Democratic candidate who was expected to file, but Bill Cobb came up short in terms of the number of signatures, says he's now going to run a write-in campaign. So it's now a three-person race on the Democratic side, Gretchen Whitmer, Abdul El Sayed, and Sri Tanadar. On the Republican side, no surprises. Attorney General Bill Schuette, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, State Senator Patrick Kolbeck, and Dr. Jim Hines.
Anything to indicate that perhaps through this filing process that the anticipated blue wave will make its way through Michigan?
I would say that the indications are, by the number of Democratic candidates who filed to run in primaries, that there is high anticipation of a blue wave. We'll see whether or not that plays out, and if it does happen, to what degree.
You are listening to State of Politics on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Rick Pluta, our Lansing insider. Here in Washtenaw County, there's an interesting race. 18th District State Senator Rebecca Warren is term limited, and there are four Democrats seeking to win the primary, including former State Representative Jeff Irwin and current Washtenaw County Commissioner Michelle Dietrich. Warren, meantime, will run to win a term in the 55th State House District. That's because she was elected to the Senate with one term left available to her in the House under term limit law. She can now go back to the House, but only for that one term. She's facing a primary challenge from fellow Democrat Shauna McNally. The winner will face a Republican primary winner in November. Rick, this is a most unusual situation in that it rarely, if ever, happens that a state representative moves on to the Senate, then goes back to the House, right?
Right, and it's becoming more common under term limits. As a matter of fact, Rebecca Warren is one of two state senators, Senator Vincent Gregory from Southfield being the other, who are seeking to return to the state house to finish out their legislative careers. This has only happened one time before since term limits when State Senator Bill Van Riggenmorter from West Michigan returned to the House. But we will be seeing more of this just because of the way that term limits has kind of arranged the political calendar.
Could it be perceived as a disadvantage, Rick, to Warren and others who choose this path, that because she can only serve one term, that the other candidate would have an opportunity to serve longer, creating greater continuity in the position?
Certainly that argument will be made, Although I think that works more internally than in primaries when, look, like it or not, that Rebecca Warren is going to have an advantage because voters in that House district are used to seeing her name on the ballot. And I would say that, you know, familiarity and name ID probably trump a process argument about how long someone can serve.
Could get interesting in the 54th State House District as well. Incumbent Ronnie Peterson is being challenged by three other Democrats in the primary. Is there any sense in Lansing that Peterson may be vulnerable either in the primary or if he wins that in November against the winner of the Republican primary?
You know, again, incumbency is a big advantage in both primaries and general elections, but it does speak to the fact that, you know, the fact that this primary is so crowded that a lot of Democrats just seem to be thinking that this is going to be a good year to be a Democrat.
This state house this week endorsed a budget plan, Rick. It increases per pupil funding for K-12 schools, which has generally been received well around the state. It does not provide additional funding for roads, and it did not fund a continuation of the bottled water program for Flint. That didn't go over quite as well. How close is the Senate to passing its version of the budget?
Well, the Senate just passed a budget yesterday that it's what's called a supplemental budget. So it's an adjustment to the current spending plan that adds $18 million for school safety. People have talked about, you know, quote, hardening schools to make them safer from attacks. And so there's $18 million for that. That this will continue apace, that Democrats will argue whether the issue is school safety or roads or infrastructure, that the state isn't putting enough money into that. Republicans will argue that this is what the state can afford. And in the end, the budgets will be sent to Governor Rick Snyder. And we should point out that in some cases, the legislature and its Republican leaders aren't funding things that he's interested in by as much as he would like.
So they want to wrap up the budget and have it on the governor's desk in early June. What might we see change before the budget plan is actually signed?
I think that we will see some issues in the school budget over virtual schools and state aid to those. That will be different than what the governor proposed, that he wants to actually spend less on virtual schools. He says that they're set up now, they're working, they're supposed to be less expensive, so they shouldn't need as much state funding as brick and mortar schools. We will see money for school safety. Again, we'll be arguing, they will be arguing about amounts, although not necessarily the principle of it. We'll see if arguments about guns and schools make their way into the budget debate. And then just the perennial fights over how much money to spend on higher education, how big police trooper schools should be, things like that.
With a little more money to spend in this particular budget cycle and budget planning, it's not quite as contentious as it has been in the previous cycles.
Oh, I think there's some truth to that. But again, you know, we'll still see arguments about amounts, and especially when it comes to schools and universities, that really no matter how much whichever party is in power puts in, that the party that is out of power is going to argue that it's insufficient.
Rick, we'll talk again next week.
Great. Talk to you then.
That is Rick Pluta, Managing Editor and Capitol Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. He joins us each Friday to discuss the state of politics. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.